B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Let's get some more lofty information on the NFL draft other than cereals by bringing in our ace, man of coverage of the Eagles for ESPN.com. He's on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. The great Tim McManus joins us. Hello, Tim. We're getting near the reckoning hour.
Yes, we are, Mike. Real quick, can they even be described as marshmallows, though? I think that's kind of false advertising.
No, they're hard. It's what the beauty. The texture was nice because it wouldn't get too soft.
Yeah, it's more like hard sugar candy.
Exactly. It's like you're adding sugar to the cereal, which most kids would do anyway.
Well, there you go.
All right, so let's talk about this draft and the possibility to trade up, trade back. Howie Roseman said whether you can read anything into that. Where are you right now with the Eagles and where they're going to go?
Well, I think that a lot of it sort of depends on how it falls before them. And one thing that Roseman talked about on his video conference with reporters today is, they have a limited number of guys that they see as real first round worthy kind of candidates. And he has to see how the board falls in front of him and how quickly those guys get scooped up. The quicker they get scooped up and that their first-round board gets depleted, the better chance that they move up for wide receiver. And so I think that while it's fluid, the chances of Roseman making a move are pretty good, especially when you consider his history. Three of the last four drafts, Mike, he has moved out of the original spot, either up or back, and six times since he took over as general manager where he's been in charge of personnel, they've moved in the first round. And so it wouldn't be a shock if they followed suit this year.
Now, that's counter to the grain of what he's been talking about with adding younger players and preserving the draft picks and all that kind of thing, because it would cost them a lot of capital. What I've been reading, the move up to 10 would cost heavy capital for him. Do you see a drastic move up to there? Because that's where if he loves CeeDee Lamb, they'll have to get there.
And if we look at what the history is with making that kind of move, so in 2010, the Eagles did a similar move to that, where they moved from 24 to 13, and they had to give up two third-round picks.
Mm-hmm.
The Eagles have 3/4. They do have some capital in that area, so maybe they can make something work. If it's a smaller move, like last year, from 25 to 22, they gave up a fourth and a sixth rounder in order to do that. The way that my head is at is that I don't think that they want to get themselves in a position where they are giving up a ton of their draft capital. I think that a smaller move makes more sense. Now, he did say today that, he referenced 2010 where they gave up those picks to go get Brandon Graham, but then in the second round they traded back and reacquired some of that capital, suggesting that there's different ways to kind of do this. So I do think that if somebody comes within striking range, I can definitely see him making a move, but I don't know if it's going to be this real dramatic splash given everything that they've said in the past about wanting to stockpile these picks and what it would take to do something like that.
You won't see, like, the Steelers made that kind of trade last year, where they were at 20, they got off 20, the second round pick, and a future third to get to 10. That's the kind of cost it would take.
It's possible if they've totally fallen in love, but I just feel like they had already given up two of the draft picks to get Darius Slay. That's brought them from 10 to 8. I mean, Jeffrey Lurie has been hammering this idea of, we need to accrue draft picks. We need to, we can't think that we're smarter than everybody. We need to be able to play the odds a little bit more and have greater draft picks. And they've only had 10 total over the last 2 years. So at some point, they're going to have to start actually following that philosophy.
Let me ask you this, because they always think that they have some savvy. So, like, trading back and getting an under-radar guy that would satisfy the same wide receiver need. Is there somebody in that category that you think they're eyeballing?
I think that Brandon Ayuk is somebody to look at there. He's somebody that kind of fits it, and I've spoken with people that think that there's a decent chance that he ends up in Philly. And the Eagles would have to kind of weigh, all right, where is he going to end up? I mean, is he going to go in that 21-22 range, or can we pull back a little bit? I think somebody like Denzel Mims fits that category, and somebody like Jalen Reagor also. I mean, so there's this kind of this cluster of guys that fit some of the bills in terms of the speed dynamic that they're looking for that might be worthwhile for them if they find out that they're all sort of in the same grouping. So why not move back a few spots and get some more picks?
Okay. Would you be shocked if they stayed at 21 and took a linebacker, or maybe C.J. Henderson would be there then? Would that be shocking to you?
It would not. Logically, it would be, because they have not valued that position very high in the past, and this would be, unprecedented for this regime to use a first-round pick on a linebacker. But, from what I'm hearing, there is more serious talk about taking a linebacker high this year than there has been in recent memory. That doesn't mean they're going to do it, but that I think it's being entertained more. And I think you can look at and see Murray and Queen as as guys that are good value at that spot and would solve a lot of headaches, being able to clean up behind the defensive line, three down linebackers. They would certainly get some value out of them. So, no, I would not be shocked. I'd be a little bit more surprised if Henderson is there. But if he is, then, yeah, I think you'd somebody that would be.
So if Henderson is there, they would take the corner.
I think so. Okay. I mean, I kind of look at it like if somebody like Chase on the edge rusher, the position they really value, if he ended up dropping and that's the scenario, I could see that. But yeah, I would think if Henderson gets in that area, I would imagine that would be very enticing for them.
All right. How will you be covering this draft? Very unusual for even people that are covering this draft this year. How are you doing?
I'm just going to be at home. I mean, what other option do I have? I'm just going to.
So, how are you going to be plugged into people?
Well, I mean, a lot of it's going to be just via text and just kind of working it that way. I mean, some of it's like that anyway, where you're texting people during the course of the draft. People who would have been inside the building or not, and trying to figure out what's going on. And so it's just going to be following it on the TV, following it on, having it at the computer and texting people to try to gather what I can gather.
All right. So from what you've been able to gather, does the NFL have this button down to put on a smooth product?
I can't really speak across the board for it. I feel like the Eagles feel like they're in pretty good position. And talking with Roseman and Andy Weidel today, Roseman, for instance, has had kind of all the bells and whistles in his home office for the last 2 years. Anyway, they've run different simulations. They have the league-wide mock draft that's going to be happening on Monday, where they're going to try to get some of these kinks out. And I know that the Eagles feel really good about their IT department, that they're going to be in a good position. But whether that's going to apply across all the teams, and whether it's probably to say that no glitches will happen is probably far fetched. So, I think it's going to be a roller coaster ride, Mike, and I'm sure there's going to be some things that things are going to have to work out.
How are they going to do this mock draft? How does this come out? They're just going to shoot to different teams and nobody's going to pick, obviously, but what does this mean, this mock draft?
So yeah, they won't be showing their hands clearly, but they're going to go through the process of, all right, you're on the clock and now let's make it happen. And as Roseman said today, we're going to have some fun making some mock trades. And so it's just kind of simulating the process of what it looks like and what it feels like, communicating with your guys through the Microsoft Teams, making sure that, it's as well oiled as possible by the time they get to Thursday.
So they can go, we're taking Freddie Flintstone, tight end out of Bedrock. Right, something like that.
Yeah. I don't know if they're using actual players or if they're using cartoon characters, but
because he did play in college. Remember when Fred went back to college?
Hell of a bowler too.
Yeah, he was. All right, man. Listen, good luck to you. Have fun covering this draft, and we will talk to you next week.
I appreciate it, Mike. There, all right, take care.
All right, that's Tim McManus.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.